Testing time. We all have testing times in our life. Testing times come by the ton, by the by the gross, by the whatever, but by the lots. Testing time never comes simply by itself, but it comes with a lot of other things. Now, why does testing time come with so many things that have to be considered at one time? Why doesn't testing time come with just one little thing at a time that we can handle easily and then go on to the next thing? You know, it just all seems to come at once, where we have a lot of problems that we have to face. We have a lot of decisions we have to make. We have a lot of things we have to do, and it always happens at once. Why does it happen like that? Why does it, testing time have to be so difficult? Well, take school, for instance, you know, school. You go to school, and in school, what happens? At the end of the semester, it's testing time for all the subjects. I mean, they could space them out during the year, you know, so that you could have one test here, one test here, one test here, but no, they put them all at once. And so then all at once, you're supposed to have your mind so organized to understand all the subjects and have all that information balanced out in your mind, because that's just the way life is. That's the way things are. Now, perhaps we might create a school that would have testing time, you know, checked out through the year, so that you have a chance to build and grow with the testing time. But again, that's not the way things are. That's not the way you created them. You like them. You either like happy times or sad times. And you don't like to mix up your sad times with your happy times, because with your happy times, you forget your sad times. And your sad times, you never forget your happy times. If I come to the door and I say, "Well, Stephen, you just have won the sweepstakes. Here's $100,000. And 10 minutes before, you heard that your dog had died, and you know your heart was broken over your dog. "Oh, my puppy, I missed my puppy." And you just won $10,000. "Well, how about that? Wow, isn't that wonderful? Fantastic." "Well, aren't you sad about your puppy dead?" "Yeah, yeah, he died. He's gone now. Bury him now. Get another dog. I can get a nice dog for $10,000, or $100,000, whatever." But we move on. And some things jog us to move on, and other things jog us to stand still. Now, what sort of testing time do you like to have? Do you like to have testing times that jog you to move on, or that jog you to be in grief? And you wear the black band on your sleeve, and you wear black clothes. I mean, what a bunch of idiots. And what do the Greeks do? They wear the black too, but what do? Party time! Joe's gone, party time. Molly's gone, party time, party time. They don't stop the party because the grief, "Oh, yeah, I miss the old guy, I miss her." And they don't say that. They do, but they don't mean it. That's just tradition that they have to say that. Now, what is tradition at a wedding? What is tradition when Irene gets married? For instance, Irene's getting married. And what's her mother supposed to do at her wedding? She's supposed to cry. Her mother should say, "Thank God, you know, she's found a man, and now she's got this, you know, somebody to take care of her, and she's, you know, going to make a living and doing this." And you know, every mother wants their daughter to get married. Every father hopes their daughter gets married, and they're off their back. They don't have to worry about who they're shacking up with and messing up with and stuff like that. And that's tough. I mean, that's testing time too. Of course, the big testing time is whether the guy she's marrying is going to be able to take care of her in the manner in which she's accustomed. And if he can't, then she has to do a little work herself. Get out and get a job or a treat or whatever she wants to do. But that's all testing time. It's all testing time. What is it that the father has trained his daughter to do, or trained his son to do? Has the father trained them to have integrity, to be trustworthy, to be believable, to take responsibility? The daughter or son, this is an equal opportunity situation, you know. It's not just that the boys have this responsibility and the girls get off scot-free. The girls have that responsibility too. Now, how do the girls have the responsibility of being responsible for their life? Well, the girls have to learn when to say yes and no. The girls have to learn when to say, "Yes, I'll marry you. Oh, wonderful." Or, "No way, you know. You may be the richest boy in town. You may be the most handsome boy in town. You may have everything going for you, but I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't want to marry you." "Daughter, you're rocks in your head, don't you realize?" Papa says. He says, you got a winner there, you know. "Dad, I got a loser there. You don't know this man. He just has no responsibility. He doesn't care about anything but himself. He stands in front of the mirror 6 hours a day, and then the other 6 hours, he's out driving in his beautiful cars and polishing them up and doing these things. Hey, I want somebody who cares about more than himself and the car, you know? But daughter, he's rich, you know? Hey, Dad, did you marry for riches or did you marry for love?" Well, that's not the point. It's not the point what I did, what you do now, you know, with your life. "Well, Dad, if I told you that he is a homicidal maniac and that within 1 year he will kill me, would you still want me to marry him?" "Well, of course not." "Well, he's a homicidal maniac and within 1 year he's going to kill me now. So get off my back." You know, whatever it takes to make Daddy happy. But you see, these are tests. These are tests. We have to always be who we want and who we are. We cannot let ourselves be pushed into things just because they happen to come our way. We have to make decisions. We have to make decisions, and we have to stand by these decisions because they are what we are. They're tests. We are given, our topic is testing time. We're given tests to see where we stand on what our belief is. What is our conviction? What is our program for ourselves? Now, Ellen invited Jerome to come along because Gertrude wanted to bring Jerome. And that was fine. And then Rhonda wanted to bring her son, and that was fine. And then Anita wanted to bring her nephew, and that's fine. But her nephew and Jerome alone, I think it would still have to be done. We'd have to have a translator. They would have to translate, because otherwise they sit there for 4 hours every day hearing a lecture they don't understand, which is boring as the devil, you know. Even though I would speak perfect Switzerland, it's boring as can be. So we will have it translated for them. Now that's a test. Now who will do the translations? And I said, "Ellen, you love to do those translations, don't you?" And she says, press the button. "I am the president, and not president, but I'm the chairman of the board. So I will say who does the translating." And this is wonderful. But what is it that is the important thing? It's testing time. It's testing time to see whether you take responsibility. Now, Sylvia wants to take the responsibility of being the abbot. And she just says, "Tell me what the abbot does." And we haven't figured it out yet. We're working on it. And as soon as we find out what the abbot does, we'll tell her. Now, she may not want to do all the things the abbot does. See, now, what does a mother superior do in the convent? Remember? In what's that girl's?
Sister Act. Sister Act.
The Sister Act, yeah. Remember Sister Act, how the mother superior was kind of a pain in the neck, but she was really caring for her girls. And she made sure that the floors were polished. She made sure that everything was in place. She was up all day and up all night. She knew when the girls came in and when they came out and when they weren't supposed to be doing things, when they were doing things. You know, to be the abbot, to be the mother superior, is not the coolest thing in the world, because you're on duty 24 hours a day, because you're tending to your children, your flock, your monks. Here we have monks. And so our guests become honorary monks. So Sylvia will now have the honorary monks to take care of too, and to make sure that they all understand what the rules are of the monastery and how things function. But she wants to do other things too, like she'd like to pay bills. Well, that's a pain in the neck too. And you can't just pay bills. You have to understand whether that bill should be paid or not, whether we really want that subscription or whether we ordered it in the first place. A lot of times they send you magazines and then they say, "And here is your bill," and you think, "Oh, we've been getting that, but we got that because it came free, you know?" And so then we pay the bill and then it comes for a year. And when do we have time to read these wonderful magazines? They're great. But those are testing times. Are we going to continue taking those magazines because they're great? We get a magazine on gardening. Who's reading it? Oh, someone will look at a page or two. They'll flash through it. We're getting Popular Mechanics, Popular Science. We're getting Smithsonian, National Geographic. We're getting New Age, New Thought. We're getting, PC magazines and Forbes and Your Dog Journal and the West Ways and the Bottom Line. And
Spirituality and Health.
Because that's an advertising program. Mm-hmm. But we get all of these. Now, it's a dozen magazines here. Now, who has the time to read them? Who has the time to do justice to them? That's a test. Are we having them just because it's a pleasant thing to say, yes, those, we take those magazines? Who cares? We must not be allowing ourselves to be judged by the outer. We allow ourselves only to be under control of the inner, listening to our divine self. Testing time comes constantly for us. It comes every moment of our life to see whether we stand up for what it is that we believe, whether we really care or not. Now, Ellen's going through this situation on the phone here about the fourth child. And is the fourth child going to be allowed to come? Well, if the three, and there's another one, well, he speaks English, but he probably will enjoy the Switzerdeutsch. But there's another one that needs to have special attention. Now, he's not a bad boy. He's not coming here because he is a bad boy. He's coming here because he just hasn't found himself. And I guess that's what being a bad boy is, when you don't find yourself, right? Yeah, that's the... what we say, we're a bad boy, a bad girl, when we don't find ourselves because we're searching and we're looking. Well, how are we going to find ourselves? We need a little guidance. This is what the Big Brothers are for. And the Big Brothers organization in the United States is where men offer an afternoon or evening or whatever their time to work with a young person in a family who doesn't have a father or whose father is not available, like in prison or something like that. And then he goes over and lets the boy know that he's cared for and plays ball with him and gives him a masculine feeling in his world. And it's a beautiful thing. So these are things that we create for ourselves. They're testing that we create for ourselves. Now, this father person who is a big brother, he can get into a lot of trouble too, because the boy can change his affections from his mother or the family to the big brother and then say, you take care of me, you adopt me, you take me, you know, my family doesn't understand me, you take me, you take me. And he has to realize that his role is just being a father image, a big brother image, not adopting. Because if every doctor, every psychiatrist, every counselor adopted every child that they ever counseled with, and I'm sure they counsel with a lot who would fall in love with them, why, they'd have the biggest families on earth. Because they transfer affection, they transfer relationships and so forth. And that's testing. And so we as adults, we as human beings, when we are in our testing time, we have to be very careful that we don't fall into the trap of thinking that we are so desirable and so wonderful that we have to make ourselves available for everybody else's program. Mm. We make ourselves available only to the degree that we want to do it, only to the degree that it pleases us. Because what did we say in our lecture this morning of Zig Ziglar? What did he say of himself?
Ich
bin Nummer eins. Yeah, I'm number one. I'm number one. He didn't say I'm God. He could have. That's the same thing, you know. But I'm number one. And the day that we forget that we're number one, then all of a sudden we become number null, zilch, nothing. And we just give away our freedom and our delight in having a harmonious, wonderful program. But we have to stand up for whatever our belief is. And not just going shoo and stuff like that. We got to stand up.
Yeah.
But we'll do that in the right way at the right time. And if you bit off more than you can chew at this moment, just realize you'll do it more carefully next time. But that doesn't mean that it has to be bad. Testing time is here now. Every moment of our life. Test yourself well and be responsible for yourself. Nobody else is to blame for your failure. Nobody else is to blame for your success. Just you. I love you.
Purpose.
Tell the truth.